speaking on this program is Brother Kevin Key.
You know, being able to assemble together with God's people upon the first day of the week is such a wonderful blessing. The Lord identified that the Father is seeking our worship, and as we assemble together, God wants us to worship Him according to spirit and in truth. He wants our mind to be where we are as we assemble together and worship and praise Him, but also He wants us to worship Him in a way that is pleasing and acceptable, that has been authorized by Him through the New Testament Scripture. And as we think in regard to you and me in the church and our coming together, the Bible identifies that we are indeed the body of Christ, and that the body of Christ has many members. And in this, as we consider the context of the Scripture this morning, we will be coming from 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 12 through the end of the chapter. But yet at the same time, I want to set the context as to what's going on. The Apostle Paul is writing to the saints at Corinth, and in chapter 12, he identifies nine spiritual gifts that was administered unto the saints of the first century there and amongst the brethren at Corinth. And he identifies not only in regard to these miraculous manifestations of the Spirit amongst these individuals through the laying on of the apostles' hands, but he identifies then the significance that each member plays in the body of Christ. He identifies the foot and the hand. He reveals not only the foot and the hand, but the ears and the nose and also the eyes, and how that these individuals, each one of them, play a very important role in helping the Lord's church be what it is supposed to be in the sight of God, but also for the importance of each member to be engaged in the work of the church, for moving the body of Christ forward in and amongst the local community. As we have looked at from time to time, these series of verses from verse 12 through the end of the chapter, a lot of times we will focus upon how that each member plays a very vital role, and by all means, that is certainly applicable to the context. But this morning, I want us to look to each member of the body of Christ and to ask, which member are you? Are you the feet? Are you the hands? Are you the ear? Are you the nose? Or are you the eyes that is identified in the context of Scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12? He begins by speaking in regard to the body. And good people, whenever God speaks in the context here, but also from time to time regarding the body, He is speaking about the church for which Jesus Christ died. He is speaking about the kingdom that God had promised would come into existence whenever Jesus Christ, the Messiah, came into the world. So therefore, He is speaking about the body or the church or the kingdom. It is synonymous, one and the same. And Jesus Christ, our Lord, had promised that He would establish His kingdom, that He would establish one church whenever He died. And we understand from the context of Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 41, that whenever Jesus Christ died at Calvary's cross, the apostles were responsible for preaching and teaching about Jesus, and good people, the Lord's church began that day. And that church still exists today, and today, you and me, as members of the churches of Christ, who have been baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, we are very privileged to be able to be counted amongst the body of Christ. How does one come to be a member of the church for which Jesus Christ died for? How do they become a member of the body of Christ? Good people, entrance into the Lord's church, into the body, is only gained through baptism. We cannot join the church as what is taught in and amongst the denominational world, but rather we are added unto the Lord's church by the Lord whenever we submit ourselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. That was the way in which it happened in the first century, and it is still the way in which it happens today. Why? Because our God never changes, and His Word that He has delivered unto mankind, it is still holding true today, and it will never change. Individuals who want to be a member of the Lord's church, they must submit themselves to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin. And the Bible identifies concerning the body of Christ that is made up of many members. It is a unified body. It is a unified unit. while we here at East End represent a local aspect of the body, we also understand is that there are some 40 other congregations here of the Lord's Church in our community, of which we are also to be unified with. But not only here in Warren County, throughout the entire world, there are those who identify themselves as churches of Christ who also comply with the doctrine of Christ. And you and I are in unison with these individuals. You and I are in fellowship with these congregations as long as not only they bear the proper name, but also if they comply with the doctrine that our Lord and Savior has set forth. In order for this to be accomplished, you and I must continue to abide in the doctrine of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And as long as we do these things to people, then we know that God is pleased with us, and then we can continue then to maintain our fellowship, our end of the agreement, if you would, with our brotherhood, who also strive to walk in the light. As we think in regard to the body of Christ, as we have already introduced from our introduction this morning, is that the body has many members, and the first one mentioned here are the feet. The body has feet, and as we think in regard to the feet, who are those individuals who represent the feet in the body of Christ? Good people, I believe that those individuals are identified as the feet are the members who are involved in reaching out from a visitation standpoint. We have in and amongst the body of Christ here individuals who are sick. Maybe they are dealing with colds and are not able to be out in and amongst us, and some who are dealing with sickness or disease that hinders them from being able to be in and amongst our assembly as what we have come together upon this Lord's Day and even in midweek. And we have others who are shut in. We have some who have age on them that are not able to be able to be with us while we come together as God's people. And we have some who have various other situations that they find themselves in that hinder them from assembling with us as the brethren. And in this, as members of the body of Christ, God identifies to us that we have an obligation as well as a responsibility or privilege to be able to go unto these members to encourage them, to love them, and to let them know that they may not be able to be with us and they're not forgotten. In this then, we have members who continually are reaching out as the feet to visit our members who are hindered from being here with us. But also, I believe that the feet could represent those individuals who are working to help meet the needs of anyone that they come in contact with. We have an obligation as well as a privilege to be able to assist even strangers who might come our way from time to time, or people out in the community that in reality we might not know, but still at the same time, if we have the ability conjoined with the opportunity, God commands us to be doing good in and amongst people who have needs. And we have many members here who operate as the feet to assist our members as well as to assist others who have needs, and to make certain that these needs are met. You're working through your feet, through the avenue of which God has blessed you with. But also, as I think in regard to the feet, I think that he could be mentioning or considering those individuals who thrive for mission work, to be able to go out into the mission field and to proclaim to these lost souls about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. As an individual who's gone out myself and done mission work, and I can relate with these individuals because we see the need as well as we understand the commandment of our God to go and to do these type of things. And whenever you go on a mission trip, it just lights a fire under you. And we have other members in and amongst us here who are evangelistic minded, who spend their time as well as their money. They put forth all kinds of efforts, either themselves or to help support others to go out into the mission field. These people serve in part as the feet of the body of Christ. But what about the hands? I believe that the hands would be maybe those individuals who are the members who are involved in local work. We are blessed here at East End not only with programs that allow us to proclaim Christ, but we are blessed here at ECN with people who have hands who want to work, who are willing to put their hands to the work that God commands us to be involved in. In regard to local outreach, we have brethren who are constantly going about door to door. Brother Pegg comes to my mind, and I know that he cannot necessarily hear me, but I know he reads my lips and he reads our PowerPoints. But Brother Pegg has done much extensive work in going door to door, knocking on doors and engaging in conversation with those souls that are lost and handing them material that either he has personally spent hours putting together or that he's purchased out of his own pocket, out of their own funds. And he sends material throughout not only our local community, but even beyond. People who are involved in door-to-door or also Bible correspondence courses. We have a baptism that took place this last week with Betty Floyd. We introduced her to you this past Wednesday as she assembled together with us, and she was a result of the Bible correspondence courses that she has been taking, and we've done some follow-up work, and our sister Ann Snyder has been very material in making certain that those Bible correspondence courses, whenever they come in, that they are graded and that these individuals are given new material and sent out again. Material so that they're able to continue in their studies and growth in the body or understanding of the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The hands are those individuals, I believe, at least in part, who are involved in the local work of the church. But also, I believe that the hands could be in reference to the members who are working within the local body. Who could that be referring to? Good people, it could be referring to the elders who work continually in and amongst the body of Christ to feed the church and to lead the church, to shepherd the body of Christ according to the way, the path that our God commands the body of Christ to go in order for us to be pleasing and acceptable unto Him. But also, I believe that whenever we think in regard to the hands here and those who work within the church, He could be speaking about the deacons who work within the body here, especially as we are looking here at East End. We are blessed with 14 deacons amongst us. And these men love our Lord. These men love our God and His inspired Word. And these men are always putting their hands to the work of the church here. Why do they do that? Good people, because they want to see our God pleased and they want to see us move forward to the glory and to the praise of our God and our Creator. And we are blessed with men who are working continually within the body of Christ. But also, He could be speaking about the individual members who are putting their hands to the work in every single way. And sometimes it's visible, and other times we don't know what they're doing. But we see the effects of it as they are engaging with people and as they are continually working in and amongst their family, their friends, the community of which we are a part of. The hands are those individuals, certainly at least in part, who are working faithfully within the body of Christ. But also, if you are a faithful member of the body of Christ, I contend is that the hands would be at least in reference in part to you, that you are serving each day as a light into the lost community of which we are a part of. If you are a faithful member of the church and you speak to people about Christ, you live your life for God, you are working with your hands to glorify God. You're working with your hands not only to glorify God, but to build up this kingdom here of which Christ died for and of which you and I are truly blessed to be a part of. As we move forward, though, into the context, he speaks about the ear, or the ears, and who are those who are ears? Those who have ears, the Scripture says, let them hear. And those individuals, they hear continually, and they're listening to the needs and the concerns continually of the body of Christ. I believe in the context would be more fitting. And what those ears represent, and not only what do they represent, but who would make a good ear or good work in the kingdom in regard to the ear? I believe that the ears make good teachers in the body. Why? Because they're always listening to their students to find out what their students need, where their students are at in their understanding of God's Word, and what their students need whenever they have that opportunity to sit before them and to instruct them concerning our God's ways. But also, the ears, they make good deacons within the body of Christ. The deacons are those individuals who will listen to the eldership, who will listen to God's Word, who will listen to the needs of the congregation, and they will do what they can to do to make sure that those needs are met on an ongoing basis. But also the ears, I believe, make good elders in the Lord's work. The elders have the huge responsibility in the body of Christ to hear the congregation, to listen to what the congregation needs, and then to move forward to feed the body of Christ in any and every way that we possibly can from a biblical standpoint. The ears are very important members of the Lord's church because it is through the ears that we are able to hear what the needs are and to move forward to meeting those needs. But then he also identifies the nose by a term that he says has smell. And in regard to the nose, sometimes we have members who put their nose into everybody else's business. And that's not the type of nose that we want to be, amen? As we think in regard to the nose that puts itself into everybody's business, we're talking about those individuals who want to know what's going on in the lives of people, not so that they can help, but rather so that they can spread it abroad throughout the congregation. And that type of a nose causes harm to people as well as it causes hindrance unto the body of Christ. It robs us of precious time, time that could be spent elsewhere in glorifying our God. But as we think about the nose also from a positive point of view, good people, the nose sometimes smells out potential problems in the church. It can sniff out or it can smell false teachers that can come in and harm the body of Christ. But also the nose can be responsible for smelling or identifying problems or concerns in and amongst the church members, whether it is things that could be problematic from a congregational standpoint, or maybe it's concerns or problems that might be coming forth in the members' families. And in order for us to be able to understand that, we're not mind readers. And we're surely not able to see the heart the way in which the Lord was able to see the heart. And the only way that we can do that is sometimes if members will ask and find things out. And we have members who play that role, and we're so grateful for that. But also, the nose could represent those individuals who had that ability to sniff out open doors. I think Paul was a nose, at least in part, because he had that ability to find open doors where others couldn't find it. He saw opportunities where others saw that they needed to flee. And Paul went forward with a proclamation of the good news of Christ. Why? Because I think in part he had a nose for those things. And we are blessed at East End with some members who have a nose for open doors and opening those doors for us. But he also speaks in the context about the eye, or the eyes. And the eye is that individual who's able to see the grave dangers that false teachers bring as they would come in. As we think about false teachers and the dangers associated with them, good people, we need to understand that anyone who does not preach and teach the doctrine of Christ, they are preaching and teaching that which is a poison, that which is poisonous. And not only is it a poison that can hurt or that can even kill or destroy an individual member, but it is also able to destroy a local congregation. if indeed an eldership does not stand opposed, and if the membership will not work as the eye to be able to identify false teachers whenever they come in, and when we think in regard to false doctrine, false teachers and their false doctrine, it is infectious. And that's what Satan wants, is for it to get its foot in. And then whenever it does, then it spreads continually throughout the church. And the eyes help us to be able to see that long before it has a devastating effect upon the body, so that we can take care of it in a prompt and godly way. But also, I believe that the eyes are those who are able to see the positive that takes place within the church. Sometimes we talk about the negative things in the church, and there's a lot of negative, certainly, that needs to be talked about, but still, there's a lot of positive when we think about the church. We are a family in Christ, and to that we say, Amen. God blesses us with a physical family, and for that, each one of us ought to be thankful for and to appreciate and to take the opportunities that God gives us to spend time with our physical family while we have those chances. But yet at the same time, the greatest blessing that we have in life is to be a part of the kingdom of God, to be a part of the body of Christ, to be a part of the family of God. What a beautiful blessing this is to be able to count our Heavenly Father as our Father, but also to have brothers and sisters here within the congregation that we love as well as to be loved by. And what a blessing it is to have those individuals who are the eyes in the church to see the positive things in the church. Not only that we are a family, but they also understand that we are able to come together and to worship our God in spirit and in truth, and that we are doing so many great things as the body of Christ to the glory of our God's name. The eyes see that, and they want to see more and more with the passing of each day and each year. And the eyes also are those individuals who are able to see the need for church growth. God commands us to grow both spiritually and numerically. And the eyes are those individuals who see continually. Yes, we've got some great things going on. Yes, God is blessing us in ways that is totally amazing. But yet at the same time, the eyes are never content. They're always saying we can do more, and we should do, we must do, in order to move forward as a congregation. They want us to grow spiritually, and to that we say Amen. They want us to continue to grow numerically also, and to that we say Amen. And we all must continue to move forward to the glory of our God's name. Today, which member are you? We are all members of the body of Christ. Are you the feet? Are you the hands? Are you the ears? Are you the nose? Are you the eyes? I hope and pray that whatever you are in the church today is that you will aspire to be more, that you will aspire to grow in your talents and to use those talents each day in the kingdom, that we might not only glorify God, but that we might be able to represent God individually and together in a way that will help this church grow spiritually and numerically in the years yet to follow. While today's lesson has been about being in the body, we've not yet mentioned how you become, or yes, I guess we did as we started, how you become a member of the body of Christ. You want to submit yourself to be baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of sin, and then to be raised to walk in newness of life. If you're not a member of the body of Christ, we invite you with His invitation.